Good afternoon, Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. In an interview with Fox News this morning, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue said the Trump administration plans to buy milk and meat as part of the coronavirus assistance.
We want to have direct payments to farmers, but more importantly, we want to purchase as much of this milk or other protein products, hams and pork products as other, and move them into where they can be utilized in our food banks and possibly even to international humanitarian aid.
The USDA could spend up to $15.5 billion in the initial phase of this plan. No official announcement, however, has been made at this time from the USDA on more details.
President Trump is taking input from all sectors regarding a post-COVID-19 economy. For agriculture, Trump's Great American Economic Revival Industry Group includes American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall, Cargill CEO David McLennan, Corteva CEO Jim Collins, and Deere & Company CEO John May.
Cattle industry losses as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic are estimated to reach $13.6 billion. That according to a study to help USDA allocate CARES Act relief funds to cattle producers. Oklahoma State University livestock economist Daryl Peel says the cow-calf sector has been impacted the most.
It is a big number. That represents our estimate of both the short-term, the immediate damages, as of where we are at this point in time here in April, but it would encompass the long-term implications of the damages that we see so far. So it's broken down into cow-calf stocker backgrounding sector and the feedlot sector. The cow-calf sector, both the short and long-term combined, represents about 60% of our total estimated damages for the industry. The stocker backgrounding sector would be about 18% of the total, and the feedlot sector about 22% of the total.
Losses anticipated for cow-calf producers total more than $3.7 billion. Revenue losses of $2.5 billion are projected for stockers and backgrounders, and $3 billion for cattle feeders. Peel explains the next step for the information.
This has been passed, my understanding, to NCBA, to NCBA and then on to USDA. And so the hope is that they will be able to utilize this information as they decide, ultimately how many of the available funds would be directed towards the beef cattle industry. And hopefully this also provides them with some guidance then on how they would allocate whatever that amount of money might be within the beef cattle industry.
One wave of volatility after another is flooding the commodity markets. The current disruption due to COVID-19 is resulting in significant losses per head for the livestock sector. Rabo AgriFinance Senior Animal Protein Analyst Don Close has one piece of advice for producers.
Don't panic that we will get to an end of this deal. We will see market conditions normalize. For the level of disruption we've had, is the market going to immediately spring back to where we were? No, I don't think that's a realistic expectation. But I do think we will start to see more and more signs as the number of coronavirus cases start to subside, we get any kind of stability in the workforce in these beef plants. I do think we'll slowly come back to normal. If we get a point where we can get restaurants back open, that will be a massive help.
Over the past 2 days, the U.S. Soybean Export Council hosted a global digital conference and situation report. Despite the impact COVID-19 is having on trade, American Soybean Association President Bill Gordon is offered a clear message.
To our global customers, the American soybean industry is open for business. We're here for you. We've been here for you. And we will plan to be here for you in the future.
All sectors of the soybean industry were represented on the USEC program. Cargill North American soybean processing manager John Buchholz says the soybean industry has seen demand erosion with a decline in food service sales. Biodiesel demand has also been affected. The opposite, though, is true for China.
Their demand actually probably should be rising as we go forward, and I think we're seeing some of that in estimates that are out there. As they try to replenish their herds, as they, as feeding goes up in China. So it's a tale. It depends on where you're at on this period of time when it comes to COVID.
An AGP official said coronavirus may have a long-term impact on the interaction between agribusiness companies and their customers. That will incorporate more automation and digital options.
Clayton Pope Commodities President Clayton Pope says crude oil is driving the ag commodities lower.
You know, they're saying that the production cut was like 10%, but some people are saying that driving demand for gasoline has dropped 30%. So it was a drop in the bucket compared to what we're up against here. And obviously the ramifications on ethanol are just horrific.
Pope says the trade was looking for a 5% reduction in ethanol production, but this morning's report from the Department of Energy shows a 15% decline in ethanol production, coupled with record large supplies.
We had the smallest ethanol grind in history. This just came out this morning as well, too. So as more and more plants are idled and sidelined, it just... It means supplies are piling up.
As expected, the weekly report from the Energy Information Administration for the week ending April 10th shows ethanol production off sharply. For the week, ethanol production was down 101,000 barrels per day, or 15%, to a record low projection of 570,000 barrels per day and 44% below the same week last year. Ethanol stocks are up 400,000 barrels to a record high of 27.5 million barrels. For more information from the Red River Farm Network, be sure to visit Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. In new analysis, the American Farm Bureau Federation says U.S. farmers will need to scale back corn acres to support prices. The March USDA Prospective Plantings Report is forecasting 97 million acres of corn to be planted this year. Farm Bureau says corn acres will need to decline 6.6 million acres to keep sustainable ending stocks. If 97 million acres are confirmed with a trend line yield of 178.5 bushels per acre, there would be 88.8 million acres of harvested corn. Adding that to the latest ending stocks, new corn supplies would reach 18 billion bushels. That's the highest on record. Not enough demand at this time to offset the large supplies with idle ethanol production capacity.
S&W Trading market analyst Andy Schischler says soybean markets had not been impacted by demand fears until the Smithfield packing plant closure.
It hadn't really affected beans until the hog facility closed, because they felt like the meal demand would be pretty strong with the loss of DDGs. So the beans had been mostly unaffected, but once the pig plant started to have issues and they've got coronavirus going through them, so maybe, I mean, that's why the bean market took a dip here, you know, pretty good.
Schischler doesn't think cattle producers are too worried by the loss of DDGs.
The packing plants make a fortune, sell it into retail, and the retail price doesn't go down. Yet the cash cattle price is trash, and they keep trying to discount it. And it was really good for a while, and now they're trying to take it down to $100 a head. So they haven't had any cash trade this week, which makes sense because who would want to trade it? And so we've got feeders, that people that sell feeders, and they're thinking of feeding the cattle instead of selling the feeder.
Kearns and Associates economist Steve Meyer says pork exports could help the current challenges facing the U.S. pork industry.
Exports have been very good so far. We've had some slowdown to Mexico, which we expected with the devaluation of the peso, and they're dealing with coronavirus there. But sales to China and Japan have been very good, and we hope that that continues. Well, our forecast was that for that number to be much larger than last year, and we have not been disappointed yet. So it's critical that exports stay at or above our forecast levels to try to take some of this product that's not going through food service operations off our hands here and try to balance this market.
Meyer says the short-term challenges for the U.S. pork industry is closing those packing plants.
The roadblock that's been thrown up by these plant slowdowns and closures on what's going on with movement of hogs, and There's not a very good answer, and certainly not one that any of us like, to solving that problem.
Home on the Prairie weather meteorologist Mark Ewens thinks we should start to see some more spring-like weather shortly.
Looks like we've got a stretch of relatively milder, and I don't want to say totally dry weather, but the pattern does seem to be shifting that, especially as we get into the second half of April, we'll see more frequent warm spells than cold spells. And overall precipitation should be quieting down.
And there should be enough warm, dry stretches to get the crop planted. Ewens is expecting a more normal-type spring than we've seen the last couple of years.
Looks like the pattern is looking a little more springish instead of this winter that started a little late after being so relatively mild for those 2 months, that January and February. Then March kind of turned on us a little bit, and so far April's not been pretty, so it's going to be getting a little back to normal as we get into May.
American Crystal Sugar Company General Agronomist Joe Hastings says a couple of warm, dry weeks will help with planting.
We've got some good weather coming, finally warming up here the end of the week. It's been a long winter, man, and if we can get some temps, it should help everything go along here. What we're seeing is, of course, we're going to need some patience. We got some wet soils out there. Fortunately, about 75% of our beet acres are planted on old wheat ground.
That patience, along with shallow passes, will be critical.
Wait till that field sits to get out there. We might have to kind of tickle that ground open to get it to dry out very lightly if we get extendedly late in planting. Ruts gets tough. Yeah, it's how do you get them smoothed out and without going too deep or too aggressive with your tillage. You want that nice, you know, maybe 3-inch depth typically is all you're working for sugar beet.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Most fertilizer will be applied to fields in the northern plains this spring. As planting nears, dry bean growers are exploring those fertilization options. NDSU Extension soil specialist Dave Franson says there are three possible nitrogen strategies.
And the first one is do nothing, and that might come as a shock to some and not to others. There are some very good soils in the state that have been in dry bean production for a long time. They don't have any conditions where they have standing water. The soils are very friable and very tilty, and so you can go in the middle of the season after they're haven't done anything to them, and pull plants out of the ground with your hand, and there's nodules all over the place.
Franzen says the next option is to inoculate.
These would be fields that have probably been in dry beans maybe for the first time or maybe for the second time. There aren't any places where water will stand or too dry. And then there are soils that have issues from place to place, and so fertilizing up to 70 pounds of N per acre, and then you subtract the soil test in the 2 feet, any credits that you might have, like sugar beet leaves, from that.
Franzen spoke during a Getting It Right dry bean webinar this morning, hosted by NDSU Extension and the North Harvest Bean Growers Association.
Trading activity in the dry edible bean market remains slow to steady. According to USDA's weekly update on dry bean markets, pintos in the North Harvest region are at $32 to $38 per hundredweight, steady with last week, but up from $21 to $22 last year. Grower prices for black beans, $25 to $28 a hundred. That's steady with the prior week and in line with a year ago. Navies are quoted from $28 to $35 a hundredweight. That compares to $28 to $30 last week and values in the low 20s a year ago.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. May Minneapolis wheat down 8 at 513. May Chicago wheat down 9 at 539.5. May corn down 5.75 at 320.25. December corn down 4 at 342.5. May beans down 0.25 at 846.75. November beans down 2.25 at 863.25. June live cattle up $1.57 at 85.37. May feeder cattle up $1.05 at 115.95. May lean hogs up $1.35 at 39.35. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.